Before we start the episode, I wanted to take some time to talk to a very special person. That person being you, the listener. Some of you were here from the start. Others, you joined in along the way to where we are today. And I just want to give a genuine and heartfelt message to all of you who support this podcast. Look, I know quite a few people who currently have a successful podcast. Many of them far more successful than mine. And while they may be more successful, there is one thing none of them have that this one does. That, of course, would be me. Like I said, they're more successful, not better. But nonetheless, more successful they are. And I ponder, why is that? Is it that they do video? Is it that they put time and effort not only into the shows, but promoting them on social media? Is it that they consistently put out new episodes on a regular basis? Is it that they flat out care more than I do? The answer to all these questions is yes, and also no. Yes, they do all these things, and I do not. But no, that's not the reason this show remains a hidden gem in the world of podcasting. I've realized the thing holding this show back, the thing that's anchoring it to the bottom of the charts, it's the listeners, it's you guys. I go on social media and I see podcasts constantly reposting and sharing all the love their listeners send them. People saying they love the show. People saying they recommend the show to all their friends. What are you guys doing? This podcast gets no social media love. I see the numbers. I know you're listening. Why nothing? The majority of you, I assume, are on workman's comp, just sitting on your couch all day, so don't act like you're too busy. And that's not an insult. If I lived in over half the cities I see we have listeners in, and my job required me to climb a ladder, at some point, I too would at least contemplate the idea of throwing myself off the top for a few months off and a prescription of pain meds. Look, all I'm asking is this. Before the pills completely take hold, and you come to that sad, sad end, post how you love the show. All I get now is a bunch of emails every week from people telling me to do segments on news articles they found on Facebook, from news websites that don't even end in .com. Hey, dummies, nothing on todaysnews.fart is fucking real. And by the way, stop making your fucking girlfriends listen to this show. It's great that you like it, but chances are they're not gonna. And when they don't, as I'm sure they won't, you also don't need to send me an email telling me about it. All that said, I'd love nothing more than to wish terrible things upon all of our listeners. But I won't, because A, this show can't afford to lose listeners in these early stages. B, I doubt even I can imagine a fate worse for any of you that God himself hasn't already put into motion. And C, this podcast fan base is a product of the podcast. The things we say on here and the topics we cover and who I am as a person just attracts a certain type of listener. I know that. When I see someone show love to a friend's podcast, I do a little investigating. I look these people up. See what they're about, see what kind of person they are. I've learned from doing this that other podcasts have listeners from all walks of life, but for the most part, they all seem to be respectable, sometimes even attractive adults who live adult lives. The last guy who emailed me, from his social media, I believe he works at a pet store located inside a mall. Which, by the way, to that listener, if you're paying attention to what I'm saying right now and can guess where this whole thing is going, now you know why I'm not talking about Joe Biden having the Secret Service bring an underage trans prostitute on Air Force One the last time he visited the Prime Minister of Thailand. The photos are fake, and so is everything on that fucking site. Stop sending me the link every 2 weeks. But I don't expect much from you guys. Fuck, some of you are working at a mall pet store. Trust me, you have a very low bar to clear. But what I am asking takes minimal effort. Give those 5-star ratings on all the streaming platforms. Leave comments. Don't forget to spell check. Remember, you're representing not just yourself, but this podcast and its listeners. Promote the show on social media and suggest it. Better yet, demand other people listen. But not your wives and girlfriends. That's not going to end well.
Oh, yeah. flock of your daughters. It's the Problemos Podcast.
Es hora de otro podcast de mierda.
And now, your host, Nick Milton.
Y ahora dos retrasados.
I love the Dalai Lama. Always have, always will. I've studied his teachings for many years, and this may surprise some of you, but I make a conscious effort every day to live my life by the principles of the great Dalai Lama. Or is it Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein or the Dalai Lama? I always get those two confused. Which one do the Chinese hate? Hang on, let me look this up. Dalai Lama. Oh, okay, so the Dalai Lama, the Chinese hate the Dalai Lama, and Saddam's the one who would make his enemies chug gasoline and then shoot them in the belly with an assault rifle in the town square till they burst into flames. Okay, so my bad. I'm not a follower of the Dalai Lama. Okay. Anyway, last week the Dalai Lama got in some hot water. A video of him at a recent public appearance was all over the internet. In the video, Mr. Lama was having a little meet and greet with a young boy, a young fan, if you will. Upon meeting Mr. Lama, the boy asked if he could have a hug. And of course, Mr. Lama agreed. But immediately after granting the young fan's wish, Mr. Lama asked for something in return. That something, of course, being a little smooch, a little kissaroo. And if you're wondering where he wanted it, well, of course, on the mouth of the 87-year-old Tibetan religious leader. That's where he wanted it, okay? Because, and, you know, let this be a lesson to all of you listening. If you have aspirations to meet celebrities, or you're a fan of somebody and you're hoping one day to run into them. When it comes to getting close to these people, when it comes to getting something from them, nobody rides for free. You can't expect to have some once-in-a-lifetime moment, some magical interaction with these people, and not expect them to get a little something in return. They got to get their beaks wet, okay? Celebrities live by one credo. It's never let your beak get dry. And even the Dalai Lama, he's got to get his beak wet. You want a hug? He wants a kiss, okay? There's a famous story that I remember hearing as a kid about how Elvis Presley would ask fans, you know, like, what's your favorite color? And when the person would answer, he would buy them a Cadillac in said color. But what they don't tell you is with getting to meet Elvis and receiving a new luxury car, Elvis would then bed their underage daughter, granddaughter, nieces, or you know, he could just say, hey, go grab me a 14-year-old off the street right now to fuck. Elvis got his beak wet. This is how celebrities work. If you want a selfie with Michael Shannon, you might have to do something after that amuses him, like stomp a stray cat to death. You want Cardi B to be on your IG live stream? Don't be surprised if she makes you get a Nazi tattoo on her IG live stream in return. Want John Cena to visit your sick son in the hospital? Actually, I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to do that one. I'm not going to disparage John Cena and the work he does for kids. I like John Cena, actually. All I will say is adrenochrome. Adrenochrome and small child-sized skulls mounted like hunting trophies. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, so Mr. Lama, he's in trouble because not only did he ask and get a kiss, by the way, he got that kiss on the mouth, but after the kiss, he then stuck out his tongue and requested the boy suck on it. Something the boy didn't do, which I think shows he's not a real fan. Mr. Lama, in the video, after he stuck out his tongue, of course, you know, he kind of started giggling and laughing while the boy stood there awkwardly, not knowing what the fuck to do. When reached for a comment, Mr. Lama said it was a joke. Well, howdy, don't he just sound like a real hoot? Just the other day, Vice released an article titled "Tibetans Explain What Suck My Tongue Means. It's Not What You Think." Spoiler alert, it's also not what I was hoping it meant. This from the article, hang on, let me pull this up here. Tibetans told Vice World News that the meaning of this common expression, suck my tongue, used to tease children and teach them, is completely lost in cultural interpretations and its English translation. The correct phrase in Tibetan for this joke is chelase, which roughly translates to eat my tongue. Oh yeah, that sounds way better. English is the Dalai Lama's second language, and Indian news outlets have previously reported that he speaks in broken English at public events. Then it goes on to cite a YouTuber who put out a video trying to explain this. In a YouTube video, oh Christ, this name, Jigme Ujin. You know, I'll just call him Jigga. A second-generation Tibetan refugee living in the U.S. explains how this display of affection was born out of a game played between the Tibetan elderly and children. Jigga says, kids who go up to their grandfather, for instance, they will ask to kiss their grandfather's forehead, touch their noses, and then kiss them. Okay, that is a cultural difference right off the bat. It's a lovely way of sharing affection with a grandparent. You know, my grandmother told my mother at Thanksgiving she was raising a queer because I had my hair gelled. I was 7. Back to the article. Then, the grandfather says that I've given you everything, so the only thing left is for you to eat my tongue, Jigga says. The child probably never gets the candy or money, but gets a beautiful lesson about life, love, and family. And what lesson is that exactly? Life, love, I've given you everything, so the only thing left is to eat my fucking tongue. What the fuck is that supposed to teach a kid? By the way, also a grandpa that does this, kind of a cunt, okay? If every time I come up to you looking for a 5-spot or some fucking shitty Werther's original, and you do this whole thing where you're like, well, I'll give you this. I mean, what's next? You might as well just eat my fucking tongue. I'm giving you so much. Go fuck yourself. Oh, this part coming up is great. Jigga says, it seems that many people in these turbulent times being forced into an environment where we're meeting people virtually and making e-connections have completely forgotten what a human connection means. Right? Society, you have been so locked up in the metaverse and the Sims and shit, you all lost touch with how real human interactions work. You've had your heads buried in these digital toys so long that something like an 80-year-old man telling a boy to suck his tongue is now weird to you? These fucking millennials, man, I'll tell you. I'm so glad this article came out because I was genuinely worried this was going to all lead to a canceling of Mr. Lama, which in a year where everything but the girl, everywhere you go, I'll follow you down at all once upon a time, sweeps the Oscars. Netflix has the show Beef as, an early pick for the hit show of the year. In the country of China is looking like it's going to be cast in a lead role for the upcoming World War III. The canceling of Mr. Lama feels like a black eye on what I've been calling the Summer of Asians. But thanks to Vice World News and, of course, Mr. Jigga, we now know it's simply, a cultural thing, a joke that got lost in translation. And that happens. I mean, maybe it's not just the tongue sucking, Maybe, those Hasidic Jew moils who circumcise the babies and then suck the tip of the penis to stop the bleeding. Maybe that's a joke we were unaware of. Maybe we've Maybe they're not weirdo creeps who like sucking baby dicks, bloody baby dicks. Maybe these are guys who are, maybe this is like slapstick in Israel. And that's not, you know, of course, saying that I do think it is funny. I don't think that would be funny if it was a joke. Someone sucking a bloody baby dick, that's not what I'd call funny necessarily. But I also don't get Canadian jokes like the Trailer Park Boys, you know. Now, the whole reason I even bring this story up, the whole reason, because this, I know, it doesn't feel like this is on brand, except for maybe the last 10 seconds. The whole reason I bring this story up is because it kind of hits home for me in the sense that as a boy, I too got to meet a famous figure who was Asian, and I too was taken back a bit by the encounter. When I was 10 years old, I begged my father to take me to the Pittsburgh Comic Con. The reason was that a number of washed-up pro wrestlers were going to be there signing autographs, and we went, and at one point my father was taking a smoke break outside, as he was wont to do, and while he was on his break, he let me just stand in line. A very long line, I have to say, for some guy who, I think he played a gang member in the movie The Crow. So I'm in his line, and I'm all by myself, and at one point I look over, and who do I see? None other than WWF legend, Mr. Fuji. If you don't know who Mr. Fuji was, his character was that of an evil little Japanese man who managed all the bad guy wrestlers. I was starstruck. I stepped out of the line and approached him. I remember tugging on his jacket to get his attention. When he turned, I said, "Mr. Fuji." And he smiled. He had this, you know, that devilish Mr. Fuji smile, if you ever watch those old wrestling shows. And I remember I said, can I get a photo with you? And I remember him just, he just took my hand. And, you know, there's a lot of people there. So we walked over. There was like this little area where you could take photos with people. And he started walking me over there. And then we went past that area. And through a door, down a hallway, out to the parking lot, and across the parking lot, over to his car, where he opened the trunk, and then, although still smiling, very aggressively, was telling me to get in the trunk. I remember he said, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I realized, can't leave that in. That voice, that accent, can't do that anymore, especially summer of Asians. Got to be conscious of that. Now, with everything I've learned about the humor of the Far East, from Mr. Jigga in the Vice World News article, I look back and I wonder, maybe it was all just a joke. I mean, I consider myself a humorist. And I can't say for sure. My father is not a humorist. Or someone who likes jokes much. Which is why when he showed up and saw me climbing into the trunk of a rusty Buick Rivera, he didn't laugh. He instead beat a man half to death in a convention center parking lot. I say a man, also, this is important to bring up, because I later found out that actually wasn't even Mr. Fuji. It was just an old Asian man there to deliver Chinese food to the black Ghostbuster. Either way, I was going to get in that trunk. Not because I was afraid of who I thought was Mr. Fuji at the time, yelling at me saying, again, shouldn't have said it. Forget that. And it wasn't because I was too dumb to realize what was awaiting me once that trunk opened back up again, if ever at all. I got in because even at that age, I understood if I wanted to get close to a celebrity, in this case, Mr. Fuji, he needed to get his beak wet.
More Problemos podcast after a word from our sponsors.
Ring Doorbell believes that stronger communities are the key to safer neighborhoods. That's why they're driven to create products that help you protect what matters most, at home, and empower you to connect with your neighbors from wherever you are. Together, we'll make neighborhoods safer. That's the Ring Doorbell mission. I have a Ring Doorbell of my own.
Oh.
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I keep it inside my toilet.
Oh, yeah.
It's right behind. You can't see it, but I invite ladies over.
That's not...
And I have them.
I feel like I figured out why these ads don't work.
Because we're not buying the products.
Like no.
We don't use the gambling apps. We don't use BetterHelp.
I don't think that's it.
But we do use Ring doorbells.
I think the problem is...
Sometimes I put them in the very corner of the shower behind a loofah.
Yeah.
And then what I do is when my roommate, when he takes a shower,
yeah.
I broadcast
yeah.
His showers online.
But that actually... speaks to what I think is wrong with the way we do these ads. Because usually with an ad, if a company's an ad on a show, they have to want to be associated with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we always make it that immediately impossible.
No.
That can exclusively
no,
impossible.
Here's what I'm going to say about yeah. Ring doorbell cameras
okay.
and why they're great. First off,
yeah.
have you ever wanted to watch a woman pee?
See what I mean?
They're wireless. You can put them in a public toilet.
Doorbell cameras.
You can put a doorbell camera anywhere.
But you said it's a doorbell camera.
Yeah.
So you put it on a doorbell. So like you know, it's a, for.
But you can put them anywhere. That's the great thing about Ring doorbell cameras.
Yeah, but they're made for the doorbell.
But they're not. They're made for anywhere. And if all you got to do.
Would they say that? If you ask fucking Mark doorbell camera, would he say I made these for anywhere? Would he say it's to protect your home?
I'll tell you what Mark doorbell camera would not say.
What?
He wouldn't say, oh, if you don't have a doorbell, you can't have this.
He might.
No.
He might ask what you're doing it for. I have to put it this way. If Mark doorbell camera asks you, what are you using my doorbell camera for? Would you look him in the eye and tell him you're putting it in your toilet?
I would look him in the eye and say, I have these boots. They're extra, like, big boots. And what I do is I put a doorbell camera in the toe of the boot with a little hole. And then when I'm on the subway, I walk up to women wearing skirts and I put my foot... I slide it while I'm behind them. I slide it between their legs, and I record upskirts.
Can I do something?
Yes.
How many do you have of these doorbell cameras?
I've got 45 doorbell cameras.
Out of 45 of them?
Out of 45 of
them? Are any of them on a doorbell?
Well, there's at least probably 12 right now that are in circulation inside the toilets of different bars that do ladies' nights.
Yeah.
You figure... You know, you got three toilets and a bar, bathroom.
I have a hunch that this ad is not going to be fruitful for us.
I think you're wrong.
I think Mark doorbell camera is not going to appreciate
it. Here's the thing. You can put a doorbell camera inside a toilet.
On a doorbell, too.
You can also put it on a doorbell.
Yeah.
You can put a doorbell camera if you know how, like, in gyms and stuff, there's drop ceilings,
You mean the doors, like, to make sure no one steals the gym equipment and stuff.
No, there's like the ceilings of a lot of gyms in their locker rooms.
Oh, the locker room.
They're drop ceilings, right?
So you're going to steal in a locker room.
You push up,
yeah.
And you just kind of take the doorbell camera, you drill a little hole in the drop
ceiling.
This
sounds nefarious.
And what you can do is you can film a whole women's locker room from your Ring doorbell camera.
What do you do with the footage?
I just masturbate to it.
Oh.
And I make sure that my packages arrive.
Oh, okay. Well, how? He's not on a doorbell.
Well, because I have one on my doorbell.
You said you didn't have any on the doorbell.
No, I said, what if someone doesn't have a doorbell?
Oh, you do have one on the doorbell.
I have a doorbell.
Then never mind everything I was saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll let you finish.
Yes. So then also sometimes
what
I'll do is when I bring a woman over my house and I make love to her, I will have multiple doorbell cameras in the corners of my bedroom hidden. So I can record our lovemaking.
You keep calling them doorbell cameras, but most of them are not on doorbells.
But they are.
You should call these voyeur cameras.
No, they're doorbell cameras.
You got a voyeur camera on your doorbell.
No, what's great about it is because I can watch from anywhere.
But how does it make it a doorbell? No, it's irrelevant.
Because you get the Ring doorbell app, which is free whenever you buy a Ring doorbell.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't matter. You could be... Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You know how, like, We all live busy lives. Everybody's busy nowadays. Everybody's on the go. Everybody's moving, right? Let's say you have an important package coming.
Let's say someone catches you looking at their skirt, up their skirt with their camera that's on their boot. Do people notice you have a camera in your boot? Is it concealed?
Well, it's a tiny little hole in the top of my boot.
That's what it looks like. It's like a hole.
Yeah, but it's because they're black boots and it's a black camera lens. Nobody notices. It is a little weird that they're such big boots, though. And I only need one of them. I wear a sneaker on one foot, and then I have this large boot. I just say that my one leg's shorter than the other. I'm one of those weirdos.
You ever get caught ever?
No.
Never once?
No. One time I think a woman knew.
How do you think she knew?
Because she got wet. I saw her. When I looked back at the footage later.
That is very funny.
When I looked back at the footage later, I could see her underwear soaking.
Anyone ever find one of your cameras around the house or anything?
No.
None of your roommates or nothing?
Never. I'm good at hiding things.
I guess so.
Yeah.
You've turned me around. I got to get some of the doorbell cameras and start jacking off.
Yeah. Let me give you some practical use for the Ring doorbell camera.
Sure.
So you can understand more where I'm coming from here, okay?
Yeah, where are you coming from?
Let's say I got a funeral, okay?
Okay.
Like I have a sister who, her son died.
Like a child?
Yes, child. Okay. He was born.
I don't see the relevance yet.
But this thing, I'm at a baby funeral.
Okay.
I'm at a baby funeral.
Okay.
And I've got a package coming that day. And usually you would be like, I don't think I can go to this baby funeral.
The waiter to make sure. I got to make sure that
the package comes. And if
this is what the doorbell camera's for.
So I'm at the funeral.
Yeah.
I can look on the app while I'm standing there, while they're lowering the tiny casket into the ground. I can look at my phone and I can see, there's somebody. Somebody just showed up at the door because it has an alert system. It works off of motion sensors. It'll tell me on my phone, someone's there.
Wow.
And I look and I see and I'm like, oh, it's a guy dropping off a package.
There you go.
And then my motion sensor, as they're lowering the baby down, motion sensor goes off again. There's a woman who's using a bathroom.
So you got to probably save that. You don't look at that footage until you get home, probably.
Well, no, I watch it there.
At the baby funeral?
Yeah.
For what?
It helps.
For clues?
Well, no, it's just one of those things where it's like I can never cry, usually.
So?
So, like, watching a girl pee, that can at least help. I can at least, like, I can at least make people think that the reason I'm crying is because
the baby funeral. The
baby funeral.
But the girl pee makes you cry?
Of joy. Tears of joy.
You don't relieve yourself, though, of this joy.
No, but I'm hard.
You are hard at this baby funeral.
I'm hard because I know my package is safe, and I also know there's a girl taking a massive dump right into my doorbell cam.
That's illegal.
It's not illegal.
Yes, it is.
Nope.
Yes, it is.
Ring doorbell will stand by the fact that it is 100% legal to put a Ring doorbell camera inside of a toilet.
I bet they wouldn't.
Ringdoorbell.com. Is that even the website? I don't even know. Do they have a website? Is there a website for Ring? How do you get to them? Ring.com. There
Ring.
You go.
Ring.com.
Ring.com.
The best Ring doorbells you can buy.
There you go.
But put them on a doorbell.
We now return you to the Problemos podcast.
My favorite thing about podcasting, whether it's this current iteration or the one I did before this, which, once again, just want to remind people, there will be a Patreon that has the full 100-plus episodes of that podcast on it. It's going to be coming. We'll announce when it's there. Had to go back and find some old files to find some ones that we lost. Never mind. It's bullshit. You don't care. Excuse me. The reason I love doing podcasts, mine or even ones that I've guested on, what I like about doing them, what I love about doing them, is the fact that it's just me getting to shoot the shit with people that I think are funny or interesting to talk to. But having said that, I'm finding that doing these occasional solo pods can be great too, because it gives me the chance to talk about certain topics or tell certain stories, make certain jokes that... how do I say this? Look, okay, so just because I have nothing to lose doesn't mean the people who I have on this show as guests are the same. I can say whatever the fuck I want with no fear of one day someone from Netflix or a network calling me into an office and playing these episodes and immediately telling me that my show or my special is canceled. Okay. There won't be a special interest group picketing outside my Mark Twain Award celebration, okay? But I will say this. If you really are that motivated to come at me for the things I say on this, I welcome an angry mob at my shows. But the only problem is, one, you're going to be waiting a while. My calendar is pretty bare these days. There are clubs in this city booking a guy who rapes women in bathrooms, and yet they won't return my emails. I got comics working at these clubs saying to book me, and they still would rather put Jack the fucking Ripper on the stage. Two, when I do have a show, good luck finding it. The last show I was booked on was in the basement of a pizza joint I didn't even know existed when I was standing right in front of it. And it was located, I believe, right near the entrance to the Holland Tunnel. And if you're not from New York, not a lot of foot traffic around there, okay? Which means that if anybody was going to come to the show, it was going to have to be done by the 15 mental patients that were also on the show with me. They were going to have to try to get people to come to the show by promoting it. And shocker, a bunch of people who still use Facebook as their primary social media and have comedian as their middle name, they don't put a lot of butts in the seats. I didn't promote it myself because, I have this whole thing that I've been dealing with my whole comedy career. Shame, you know? With all that said, I wanted to talk about bad words this week. My former co-host, friends, women I've dated, all of them have at some point made note of my use of the word retard and retarded, which is funny considering the words and the jokes I frequently use, they seem to not bat an eyelash at. And really, that's kind of my gripe with people telling me what I can and can't say. I don't get upset by people telling me they don't like things I say. That never bothers me. It's the things they don't want to hear in contrast to the things they accept hearing. That's what's always bothered me. I've had audiences hate my guts on stage. That never bothered me. Like, especially if I bombed and a really strong comic would go up before or after and kill. Because then I'm like, okay, I wasn't funny tonight. They don't dig my shit. But they at least have taste enough to give this person what they deserve. Okay? And it's the same when everyone bombs. Like, when the whole group of comics bomb, you're like, okay, they don't like anything here. But what used to legit bother me was doing terrible or watching great comics that I knew do terrible and then seeing just a garbage comic go up and destroy. That shit, I've literally been in that situation and just closed my eyes and prayed for some real bombing to happen. Not comedy bombing. I'm talking bus in Tel Aviv bombing. The point I'm trying to get at here is, it's this like kind of hypocrisy that bugs me with words you can and can't say. Let me give you my favorite example of this, okay? Serial killer fandom is such a weird thing in this country. And something I've noticed a lot of people who get off on the whole serial killer thing, a lot, not all, are weirdly also vocal about the issues of inappropriate speech. A fun example for you. This past year, a buddy of mine, at the time a buddy, I'd say we have fallen into more of an acquaintance role since this story. He and his girlfriend invited me out to a bar for a drink. His girlfriend was not exceptionally friendly or fun to talk to, but nice enough, and I'd say handsome. Anyway, that night, we were hanging out, and everything was fine. And at one point, the bar got really crowded, and some guy who was drunk, he spilled a drink onto our table, an entire beer. And that beer poured directly onto my buddy's girlfriend's lap, like all over her. And the three of us initially were calm about it, you know, because shit happens. Until the drunk guy chose to just ignore the entire incident even happening, like no apologies, no can I help clean that up, not even a, you know, my bad. He just shrugged and moved on, to which we all got upset. And words were exchanged, leading to him calling her a dumb cunt, which was the point where things got really heated. And in the ensuing argument, I at some point called him a number of things, including a retard. Bouncers ended up jumping in there and, you know, separating everything. And we all, you know, we all left and I said goodbye to them and we went our separate ways, right? The next time I see the two of them is about a month later at a mutual friend's house party. Me and the guy start talking about the whole incident. And we're describing what happened to some people that are there. At a certain point, this twat chimes in to chastise me about the fact that I used the word retard in an argument with a guy who had called her a cunt. The rage that boiled inside me. I look back now and I almost want to thank her, because I've always said I can never see justifying putting your hands on a woman. Maybe in a case of like self-defense, like a woman's coming at you with a weapon, you know? And I've always felt that way, but I've never really put myself to the test, you know? But in that moment, if there ever was a time I could have lost my mind enough with rage to do otherwise, that was the moment. But in the end, I didn't. So if she somehow is listening, thank you for helping me learn a little something about myself. Now, here's what's really crazy, at least to me. This all was after her having a lengthy conversation praising the show Dahmer. You know, saying the word retard could be offensive. I'm not denying that. If you are someone with a mental disability or have someone close to you who does, I'm sure that word can be hard to hear, especially when it's used flippantly. But you know what else can be hard to hear? Someone talking about how they can't get enough of watching a guy chop people into pieces and jack off with their internal organs. At least me calling a guy a retard in a bar in Bushwick isn't going to get back to anyone with a mental disability. And by the way, if that does happen, okay, well, how about fuck the messenger on that one? That actually reminds me. Little sidebar here, because I think this is relevant. I remember years ago, I think it was Louis C.K. Yeah, Louis C.K. had the, he was doing a, like, he was working out some material, you know? It wasn't something that he was putting out online. He was just in a club, and he thought he had, like, you know, the privacy to work on some stuff. And I guess he was talking about school shootings, and somebody pulled out their fucking phone and recorded it, and then put it all over the internet. Against his consent, that's a funny turn of phrase with him. But he didn't put it out there. Someone else did. And I think it was like Inside Edition. They went and found a guy whose son was killed in a school shooting and like showed him the joke. What a nice thing to do, huh? Imagine being a television producer and making that call. Where you're just like, you know, you're like, hi, my name is so-and-so from Inside Edition. Yeah, how you doing? Right, yeah. I couldn't begin to understand how trying life has been since the incident. Right, yeah. Yeah, you wake up crying in the middle of the night. Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Hey, so I wanted to talk to you about this whole thing with Louis C.K. He's a comedian. Yeah, He had a show on FX called Louie. He was actually he was in the news because he got canceled for some sexual misconduct a few years back. He has red hair. He's horseshoe bald. Always wears a black t-shirt. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah, of course. I understand you're not watching a lot of TVs these days with the mourning and the constant questioning of whether God exists. Well, we were wondering if we could get your opinion on a leaked video of him joking about school shootings. Yeah. Well, yeah, I figured you didn't see it, which is why I already emailed it to you. And also, I've put it on social media and I've tagged you in all the clips. It's on multiple platforms. So you can check your Twitter, your Instagram. You'll see that you've been tagged in the video of Louis C.K. making fun of people who die in school shootings. So you can go just whichever one you want. You can go check that. Or you can, like I said, you can check your email, you know. Anyway, I was wondering if we could just maybe like swing by after you've watched it a few dozen times and just, you know, see what you think. So anyway, it's like a weird, and this is me. This is back to me now. I'm no longer the guy from Inside Edition hounding the father of a shooting victim. But yeah, it's weird. It's weird for me to try to wrap my head around the idea that, you know, name calling or jokes or just words in general can be worse than, you know, the constant violence that, you know, we glorify and the people who do it, how we glorify them. And I understand that people process things differently when it's something that hits close to home. Like I said, if you have somebody that's close to you, I understand why, you know, the word retard, it'll sting. But if not, and you're horrified about me or someone else saying the word retard or retarded on a podcast or on stage in a comedy club or even in a private conversation, if you're worried how that can negatively affect people who have someone in their life with a disability, I hope you're also horrified to think about the families of people who are murdered and years later have like those mental and emotional wounds reopened so that Netflix can get some more subscribers. Be horrified by that. Be horrified when you think back to the fact that there was a time when a television show was doing a reenactment of something that really happened, that they were showing someone's, you know, son or brother having their head chopped off so that Jeffrey Dahmer could use it as a fleshlight. And while they were presenting that to you, you were like half paying attention and ordering Seamless. Be horrified by that. Be horrified that somewhere, someone is about to start a conversation where they go into great detail about the horrific things the BTK killer did. And that conversation will end with someone saying, "That's crazy." Be horrified by that. How fucked up is this? Here's something to think about. Imagine this, okay? You live in some shit town in the middle of the country, right? You're at a bar. A guy starts chatting you up. Guy looks like, say, Josh Gad, okay? Not particularly interesting, you know? But, you know, you're the only people in the bar, you're having a conversation, whatever. After some drinks, you're like, you know what, this guy's not terrible. And they announce last call, and he says, "Hey, I got some more beers, a little bit of Coke, and PS5. At my place. I live like a few blocks down the street." Now you're a little drunk and NBA 2K on Coke sounds fun at the moment. And you know, this guy, Seems all right, you know? So you go. You walk in his place, and immediately you just get bad vibes, and you're like, you know what? I'm leaving, okay? Something ain't right here. And the guy with zero hesitation shoots you in the head. Bang, you're dead. Afterwards, he sits with your corpse before chopping off your cock and cooking it on a hot plate for a post-murder snack. That's the terrible way your life comes to an end. Then imagine 5 years later, your family, after years of therapy and probably drug and alcohol abuse, they find out through the grapevine, the guy who killed you is getting a movie made about him, and that you and your killing will be a scene in that movie. Worst part is, it's being made by the guy who did Glee. So you know there's going to be a real delicate touch to how everything is presented. Now, someone you love, you know, against their better judgment, will probably end up watching. Hopefully it's not one of your parents. Hopefully they're dead by then. Or, I guess, they could just not watch. I guess that's also another option. So someone who loves you is watching this, and they see the guy who killed you. You know, that pudgy loser at the bar who looks like Josh Gad. He's played by Jared Leto. You're played by Josh Gad. And really, that's what I love about Hollywood, you know, is they take these stories, these true stories, they spice them up, you know. They fill in some gaps because they weren't there, so they don't know exactly what happened. They can't 100% recreate these things. And if they did, you'd be bored. You'd be bored by what really happened. So they got to add some flavor. So yeah, Jared Leto walks in. And you, in real life, yeah, you were sitting there and you just talked to some pudgy loser for a while until you got drunk enough that you thought he seemed like a nice enough guy that you can go back, play some PlayStation 5 with him, do some coke, and then you'd go home later. No thoughts of anything sexual, of course. But in the movie version, Jared Leto, like, there's no conversation, hardly. He just wins you over immediately. He uses his devilish charm to lure you back to his home. They never mention coke, never mention PS5, NBA 2K. None of that gets brought up. The only thing they allude to as the reason why you went to this guy's house is that you have an insatiable need to be fucked by him. In real life, like I said, wham bam, quick kill. Does some weird shit with you afterwards, but you know, you didn't have to see that. You were dead way before that happened. But in the movie, they paint a little differently. You guys walk in, he fucks you, you're bottom, of course. And then afterwards, he pulls a gun on you, and of course, they make you beg for your life like a bitch. You know, really, really sad shit. You even offer to suck him off again, just to live, which, hey, maybe you would, I don't know. Maybe that would have been true, if given the option. But he then says some corny cliche line that he never said, looks cool, and kills you. When they show your dick cooking on the hot plate, it's a way smaller dick than what you actually have. The killer even has a line after he eats it. He says something like, well, I'm still hungry. You know? All this for millions of people watching all over the world. Your friends, people you worked with, people you went to school with, family. These people, and many, many more, watching. Some watching in horror, some watching with a morbid joy. And perhaps worst of all, some watching because it's just something to put on the TV. The story of your final horrifying moments on this earth, even if they are exaggerated, all of it, just background noise to conceal the moans of a high school girl from her parents as she's getting finger popped by her boyfriend in the family room. I honestly have grown over the last few years and have made an effort to actually try and not say things I think will upset people. I really, truly have. Which is, again, why this is not about me thinking people are soft or, you know, snowflakes or woke or whatever bullshit you want to say to describe people for not letting me say whatever I want. It's not about that. I don't care about that. It's really just me observing the weird way we choose which things or words we want to lock up and put away into a dark place where they'll never be heard of again. And then there's these other things that, at least to me, are far more horrific things, especially in this case. And we decide their appointment viewing. Hopefully you get that that's what I'm saying here. And it wasn't just a selfish thing about me, you know, wanting to make a point that I should be able to say whatever I want. That's not, once again, that's not what it was about. And if you think I'm full of shit and you think that's what it was, what can I say? You're a retard.
More Problemos podcast after a word from our sponsors.
Ring doorbell. Go to ring.com to get yourself a Ring doorbell cam. But that's not all they have. It's not just about doorbells. It's about having security inside your house. That's why they have a floodlight cam. Floodlight cam wired pro, indoor cam, spotlight cam, stick up cams, always home cam. There's Ring alarms, including the Ring job site security alarm. There's Ring smart lighting. Do you hate coming home and not having your lights turn on? There could be a in a bush somewhere waiting to you. Some guy's waiting in a bush to you. Well, then what else is somebody going to do to you?
Rob you. That's a much better R word for this. Rob works great, actually, for a doorbell camera ad.
There's floodlight cams. Say somebody steps onto your property looking to you can have the floodlights come on and you see the
now what floodlights are for. I mean, I guess it could be used that way. But that's not the... I wouldn't call it the primary function.
Mm-hmm. Stick-up cams. These are cams that you can stick anywhere, even inside of a toilet if you want. But you can put these anywhere in your house so that when a shows up and he's trying to... These are battery-powered, plug-in, or solar.
Jesus.
Which, I don't know. Usually, if you told me that the one thing keeping me from a being caught coming into my house was something solar-powered, I'd be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Because I have...
Are you in danger of usually?
You never know. In this day and age. And then, of course, there's the classic Ring video doorbell cams. Good for packages, but also say just rings your doorbell.
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of them do. A lot of them, they like the joy of getting you to answer the door.
How do you know that?
Because that's what I've seen enough movies. What they do is they always ring a doorbell and they say that they're there to fix something. Well, now guess what? You're not even home, but you can at least be like, hey, are you here to... And if they're like, yeah, I am, then you can be like, hey, guess what? I'm not home. I'm using a Ring doorbell camera. I'm far away. I'm at my sister's son's funeral. Get out of here. That's the great thing about Ring doorbell cams and all their Ring security stuff, because that's what Ring is about. It's not just about making sure your package gets delivered and nobody takes it. It's about keeping a out of your house.
It's mainly the first one, though.
But it's also this.
It's like because it's called a doorbell camera, right? That's like the name of the product. And they're called a spotter camera.
Well, they also have all these other things. They have Ring doorbell alarm. What do you think the alarm's for?
I know what you're going to say.
It's to make sure that if a guy breaks in and tries to you.
I feel like that's not...
That could be.
I guess what do I know about it?
Yeah, what do you know?
That's true.
So get a Ring doorbell camera because it's
protect
not just
your packages.
About, protect your packages, but also
your packages.
Keep your home safe.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Problemos podcast. Listen to all past and future episodes wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify and Google Podcasts. Contact the show by addressing your electronic mail to problemospod@gmail.com.